We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, Butters, I don't know if you saw Brad in Limestone County just texted back regarding him knowing like the episode and the season of that Twilight Zone thing. He says, I am admittedly white and nerdy, but I did have to look at the season and episode numbers and the exact titles of the episodes that I mentioned. Nevertheless, that was a fair jab, Butters.
Hey,
it wasn't much a jab.
If that is something that you love and is near and dear to your heart, that's great.
Passion. Passion for the Twilight Zone. Passion. By the way, I will say this. Some of those were literally creepy. Did you ever? Okay, so now we're going to totally digress. The creepiest one I ever saw. Did you ever see the one, the old black and whites? And this particular one, a UFO landed, right? And the guy got out, and it was the guy who played Lurch on Adam's Family. So he's huge, right? And he comes out, and he's walking very stately, wearing a long robe, and he's got this makeup on, and yada yada, and everybody's all freaking out. And he goes to, I think, like Congress or someplace, and he's got a book in his hand, and he says, "We are here to serve man," and he lays down a book. And he tells everybody, and people are excited, and they're like, "This is going to be good." Mm. And so they start like organizing trips to his planet. And then at some point, someone realizes the book. They actually say it: the book to serve man. It's a cookbook.
Mm.
And you're already on the UFO going to the other planet to be served.
So do you think that's some like conditioning, some psychological conditioning by the aliens for us? That the whole Twilight series is just the Twilight Zone was just to get us to be like, oh, it's just made up stuff when it's really little snippets of reality in there. I don't know.
Now you're starting to really freak me out. There's a classic one too, Burgess Meredith. Remember that one? He was this kind of thick glasses kind of nerdy guy who loved to read. Leave him alone. He worked in a bank. Just leave me alone. I just want to read. And he would sit and read books during his lunch break. And then he would like go hide sometimes in the vault so he could read a book. And then a nuclear incident went on while he was down in the vault. So he's the only person in his entire city who survived. And he crawls out of the vault. But he's actually kind of weirdly excited because now he can read without anyone interrupting him. And he stacks up all the books he wants to read. And then he trips and falls and breaks his glasses and he can't read. And he's just trapped in the post-apocalyptic world, not able to really see.
So for all you preppers out there, make sure you've got multiple sets of glasses.
Darn right. I used to go to the field, by the way. I had an extra set of glasses that were actually 100-mile-an-hour taped to my gear. And so I was never going to be without an extra set of glasses.
Heck yeah.
Man, yeah. Why are we talking about all this? What is happening right now?
I didn't bring up Twilight Zone.
I blame it all on Brad from Limestone County. So, there.
Well, thanks, Brad.
Hey, number two, triple dipper, Green New Steel. All right, this is a title that I kind of coined, I don't know, gosh, a year ago. The Green New Steel. You always hear about the Green New Deal. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, the Green New Deal. We're going to have wonderful things. AOC and her Green New Deal. Well, you know what? Most of the time, it's a Green New Steal. You know why? Because they're using your tax dollars to get their agenda passed. It's once again, it's that whole thing about if you create the false market, at some point, the market winds up self-correcting. If you're going to mandate the purchase of certain goods, if you're going to mandate the use of certain services, then at some point people are going to look around and go, this isn't worth spending my money on. This isn't what I wanted. You made me buy this. Now I'm stuck with it. Now I don't have any choices. Now I'm just friggin' mad. You want to create discontent? Jump in feet first in a capitalistic, free market, first world society like the United States of America and try to redesign the markets without having everything ready for prime time. Hence the losses in the EV market right now. Hence the frustrations with things like, you can't have your gas stove. Well, then you look at all the things they're spending money on, like washing the streets, the coffers of environmentalist groups with tax dollars. Story here from the Washington Times, the Green New Steel. EPA is shielding how groups spent Biden's cash bonanza for environmental justice. Yeah, so the Environmental Protection Agency, it says, is keeping Congress in the dark about how millions of dollars from President Biden's COVID-19 stimulus spending were doled out to environmental justice efforts. Now the EPA's government watchdog may have to get involved. So it says Senator Chuck Grassley, Iowa, he's the top Republican on the Senate Budget Committee. He requested the EPA's Inspector General open an investigation because he says the agency is spent the last 8 months running interference on his attempts to try and uncover how much of the multi-millions of dollars that were given out to environmental justice projects, where the dollars went. Why did they go there? Why are people spending money on things like environmental justice with tax dollars? I mean, if you're a 501c3, I understand applying for grants, but government grants shouldn't be propping up agenda-driven 501s. It just doesn't work that way. Grassley says, I warned 3 years ago that Democrats' partisan American Rescue Plan, that was the COVID era, by the way, American Rescue Plan, that was supposed to save the world from COVID. And what are they doing? They're doing things like pruning workshops and the acceptance of trees in cities and electric vehicle sharing programs in low-income communities. Environmental justice. Environmental justice means equity. Everyone deserves a tree. Well, if they chose to live in a city, they might have fewer trees than they would if they lived in the woods. It's just the nature of things. No pun intended. But yeah, Chuck Grassley has literally got the EPA stalling him. You know why? I'll tell you why they're stalling. Because they don't know. They have no idea. They did no accountability. They had so much cash they didn't know what to do with it. So they created a grant program where they get to go, what do you want to do? What's your organization? We're the Trees for Hispanics in the Inner Cities organization. Great. Here's $200,000.
Hey, that's a big organization. I've heard of them.
Yeah. How about this one? Transgenders for Greener Grass. Sure, here's $200,000. I mean, it's unreal.
Probably pink grass, maybe.
You think?
I don't know about greener grass.
Do they have pink grass?
Why not?
Sure, why not? The Biden administration is in the final stages of doling out nearly $2 billion from the Inflation Reduction Act for the cooperative agreement programs and other environmental justice initiatives. So Grassley sent out requests in April to all 34 environmental justice grant recipients, asking for a detailed accounting of their organization's use of the funds. And he hadn't gotten any of it. In other words, the EPA, Congress, and the taxpayer just left to guess at what exactly they spent the money on at this stage of the program. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. The Green New Steel. Oh, I got more. It's going to curl your hair. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right side ruffians out there.
It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hour number three, numero tres. Okay, so we're gonna listen, this next story. I told Butters, I said, sometimes right before I go on the air, I'm sort of highlighting and double-checking some of the resources that I've got in my hands. And then I see one, and I'll go, that was even more than I thought it was. So Butters, here's a story. I don't know how I missed this. This came out a couple weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. You've heard of like the Wartime Defense Production Act, right? Or have you heard of it? Let me rephrase. Have you ever heard of the Wartime Defense Production Act?
No, I'm assuming it has something to do with commandeering, factory capabilities.
That's exactly right. Issuing executive orders that direct production in a certain way because you have a wartime emergency proclamation, right? Defense Production Act gives the president like all kinds of executive powers that he wouldn't normally have. And you've seen Biden declare emergencies before for the COVID pandemic and for whatever else you can think of, right? I did not see this happen, but I've got a story here that's on Fox, dated November 17th, so we're right at 3.5 weeks-ish, right? President Biden, just a few weeks ago, invoked the Wartime Powers Act to require the funding of electric heaters for houses as opposed to gas appliances.
What?
Shall I say it again? Because it didn't make sense to me either the first time I heard it. That's exactly what has happened. Hold up the article to the camera so they can see it. It's real. And by the way, you post all these on the resources tab, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so listen, if I read a story, here's the thing. On our website, rightsideradio.org, there's the live stream page where you can see the video where Butters and I are sitting here in the studio doing stuff. And there's a button right above the video that says resources. Every article that you hear me rattle is on there by Dipper. You can go find it. Find this one. It's titled, Biden Invokes Wartime Powers to Fund Electric Heaters as He Cracks Down on Gas Appliances. This is amazing. This is maddening. This is the Green New Steel right here. President Biden invoked a Cold War era law in a surprising move to pour taxpayer funds into domestic manufacturing of electric heat pumps as an alternative to gas-powered residential furnaces. So what he literally did was he directed $169 million of federal funds through the Department of Energy under a wartime emergency proclamation using the 1950 Defense Production Act to increase domestic production of green energy technologies. I'm reading directly from the article.
What war?
The climate war.
The climate war.
Yes, because it's an existential threat. John Podesta, his climate czar, said, today's Defense Production Act funds for heat pump manufacturing show that President Biden is treating climate change as the crisis that it is.
No, I don't think he is.
I don't think so. Ali Zaidi, who serves as Biden's national climate advisor, said the president was, quote, using his wartime emergency powers under the Defense Production Act to turbocharge U.S. manufacturing of clean technologies and strengthen our energy security.
I mean, let me get this straight. I assume that bill probably is that's something that stems from World War II era of like converting, you know, to build bombers and like.
That's exactly right.
Like Hitler's going to conquer the world if we don't do this.
It was put in place by Congress immediately after World War II, right before Korea, so that a president in the future would have the opportunity to direct, you know, steel industries to do these things and production, you know, shifting production to ammunition as opposed to, you know, tin cans or whatever. All said and done, he's abusing the privilege right now. He's going to be sending millions of dollars to companies like Copeland, Honeywell, Mitsubishi Electric, York International, all of which, the article notes, are billion-dollar multinational corporations to get them to do additional work on what he calls clean energy, especially when it comes to electric heaters. I mean,
you know, it makes sense. He was probably part of Congress back when that was passed, right?
1950? He might have been. Pretty freaking close. Yeah, so Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm is just loving it. She says, getting more American-made electric heat pumps on the market will help families and businesses save money with efficient heating and cooling technology. You know what's going to happen? They're creating another false market. Meanwhile, you got people who manufacture gas heaters, they're going to be losing their jobs. And you've got people that manufacture electric heaters loving it because they've got a government-subsidized opportunity. And then the market's going to go, wait a minute, the electric heater is less efficient. I don't get near the same heat quality in my house. I want my gas back. I'm sorry. You can't have it. Oh, by the way, since we got rid of one of your alternatives, we're going to make this one more expensive because we can. That's what they'll do. Anytime a market limits the capabilities or the expansion of, you know, a competitor, it makes the price of goods go up.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's economics 101, dude.
That's.
Make it stop, Butters.
I mean, it's one thing if you want to go out there and you want to, I got to do the, like, that's such a stretch.
It's beyond a stretch. It's just a complete distortion. I mean, it's unreal.
You know, it's interesting.
It's unreal. It's an abuse of the executive.
Oh, it's horrible. And I know I saw when you know, when I was serving in the Navy, and then when you've got a commander in chief that, oh, this is the number one threat, like those things that shapes acquisitions, yeah. It shapes so many, you know, like, look, okay, if you think it's bad, but is it really the number one? Are we going to really die?
Butters, don't you know that climate change is the existential threat to our national security? Just saying. Anyway. You'll be happy to know, though, they're going to rescue you in another way.
Oh, pray tell.
Yeah. So August 1st of this year, the old-fashioned Edison light bulb became illegal. Not just like... less available, illegal. I don't know if you remember this or not. Do you ever watch the show Last Man Standing with Tim Allen? If you've not seen it, it's pretty good because Tim Allen plays a conservative guy who's, you know, he's the last man standing because he's the only guy in his family. He's got all these daughters and everything. Anyway, he's super conservative. He sounds like he ought to be hosting the show. I mean, that's anyway. So his character is you know, the everyman who is, you know, for conservatives and votes Republican and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, there's one particular episode where he and his buddy, who's a former Marine, they find out that, hey, I heard that so-and-so hardware store has got like a cache of old-fashioned light bulbs in the back. And they go down there on a mission to try and get good light bulbs.
So that's actually a joke in my household. Is I have a giant inheritance waiting on. My mom went out and bought a whole bunch of incandescent light bulbs. And
Did she really?
An entire
storage room full. She got a black market thing going on. Come on, tell us.
Well, I wouldn't say that on the radio.
Can we give them out as gifts to right side ruffians?
I don't know. I'll just say it's a contingency plan. Okay. Never thought light bulbs would be a thing. But
your retirement is based partly on the military and partly on light bulbs.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting pretty solid, I think.
I get it, man. Story here for the Daily Wire. This came out in August. It says, it has been said of President Joe Biden that the lights are on, but nobody's home. Well, starting this week, this is back in August, the American people can be sure that those lights will be LEDs as his administration's ban on incandescent bulbs goes into effect. Now, the government says it's not a ban because they're not confiscating your existing bulbs. We're not coming to your house and changing your bulbs out for you. They're just making sure you can't buy replacements. So, yeah, Biden and his gang, the article says on Daily Wire, are helping you out by inserting themselves into your daily decision-making. They passed it. It was one of the things he did in April of 2022, and it went into effect this August. It will be, quote, illegal to sell Thomas Edison-style light bulbs in every state across America. In fact, companies will not even be allowed to manufacture them. You cannot make them. How's that for gerrymandering the market? I'm sorry. That thing right there, we don't like that. So you're not allowed to even make it.
So
we can legalize marijuana, but we can't make light bulbs.
Do they make it illegal just because they're less efficient? Like they use more power?
They say they do. They often, in my opinion, they have a warmer light. I mean, I just maybe I'm old school.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no doubt there. LEDs. And I'm a big. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love. I mean, doing video work and all that kind of stuff. LEDs. And there's a lot of cool stuff. But yeah, why are you messing up the market? Let me choose. And if I want to waste power and pay a bigger power bill.
Republican Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick, by the way, is on your side, but he's saying, I'm happy the Department of Energy is out here making sure we can all save money because we're too dumb to figure out how to do it ourselves.
Preach it.
Yeah. I mean, dang. But they're going to save us a ton of carbon emissions over the next 30 years, they say.
I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help.
All right, take me to a break before I lose my mind. I'm just telling you, folks, it's the green new steel is just it gets deeper and deeper. I got a little bit more on this. We're going to wrap this thing up here in a minute. Some of y'all are texting in. You're like, wow. Doe Man from Harvest has said, hashtag 2024 buy and done. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I got to tell you guys, our friends at Elm Foundation are also saving the world a bit. I mean, the world in which they live, they are doing everything they can right now to make changes that are positive for people's lives. So the Elm Foundation, E-L-M, Elm Foundation, you can find them on their website at elmhsv.org. That's elmhsv.org because they're from Huntsville. You know, the Elm Foundation, they're a 501c3, and their mission in life, y'all, is to help people get back off the streets, find the way to re-engage with productivity and redevelop the self-worth that comes from having, you know, a work ethic and the dignity involved with, you know, being able to sustain yourself. And sometimes that means job skills. Sometimes it means giving them a leg up on daycare or something so they can get back to work. Sometimes it means providing housing or finding a way to do it. And it's all done, amazingly enough, with very conservative principles, to include accountability. Like the people have to stick with a plan. They have milestones they got to meet, and they have someone who's walking them through the plan, basically making sure they meet it. It's pretty amazing. I had them in studio not long ago and sat down, did an hour-long interview. Just outstanding. Well, the Elm Foundation, they are one of our sponsors, and I'm proud to have them on the list. And listen, you can check them out, elmhsv.org. And this is, by the way, they're a 501c3. This is year end. This is giving time. This is when people are considering where to put some of their charitable contributions. And I would just encourage you, look at the Elm Foundation. I think you'll be amazed at the work that they do. And I highly approve. I'm back to the Green New Steel. Going to wrap this up here over the next few minutes. Had an article here from Daily Caller that I thought was interesting. So there's a lot of talk about Gavin Newsom right now, right? Like, what's going to happen? Is Biden too frail? Is he too incapable of heading down through a tough election cycle, which, you know, they're keeping him away from all the controversial debates. So it may not be that hard for him. But nonetheless, can he do it? And if not, does that mean Gavin Newsom is coming in? Well, there's an article here from Daily Caller talking about, well, here's an article. Here's a line from it. It says, it's terrifying when you look at the critical impact of environmental policy on the Golden State's economic track record. California has long pushed the envelope when it comes to environmental regulations, things like land use and emissions and renewable energy requirements. And the state, it says, offers us a preview of where the climate agenda is going to take us. So, yeah, Gavin Newsom, presidential candidate. What does that mean for us, since he has presided over one of the most radical climate agendas in the nation? Like this. They just issued new emission standards with reporting requirements for businesses. Now, I guess if you're a trucking company, you might get it. If you're like a manufacturing plant that belches smoke from your stacks, I get it. No. They are going not into direct emissions reporting. They're getting into what they call indirect emissions reporting. Get this. Businesses in California having to report how much their employees emit in emissions driving to work, how much it takes to ship packages on common carriers because they had to send their stuff out, how much customers using their products might contribute to emissions. Like, oh, I don't know, we're a gas fireplace log builder. Therefore, we have now produced 5,000 gas logs. Therefore, we have contributed X amount of tonnage to the it's ridiculous. But yeah, politicians in California, they could care less. And right now, if Gavin Newsom becomes a presidential candidate, stand by the Green New Steel. I think the last one I've got here for you is to make sure y'all understand the cost of what's coming. The Green New Steel is not just using your tax dollars elsewhere. It's not just doing things that impact your day-to-day decision-making. It's also taking stuff out of your pocket. So a consumer advocacy organization, story here on Fox News about 6 weeks ago, called Alliance for Customers, says the Biden administration is trying to build what they call Biden's Dream House. And it means they're going to be looking at the cost to the consumer for new ceiling fans, gas stoves, dishwashers, water heaters, and refrigerators, all of which are being impacted right now by Biden's new regulations. All those appliances. And the guy from Alliance for Consumers says they're trying to reshape the place that you live to make it look like the home they want you to live in. And what's crucial to understand is this administration is not just tweaking regulations, it says. They're doing things that effectively ban whole categories of things that already exist on the market. Like the decisions, as you work through it, are influenced now by the overall climate agenda. So according to their analysis, in the future, if you can get it, a water heater, a gas water heater, is going to cost about $2,800 more. More. A gas stove, $3,250 more expensive. Air conditioning systems, $1,100 more expensive. Gas furnaces, nearly $500 more expensive. And it goes on from there. And then when you consider, oh, by the way, they're looking at making new regulations in the next 12 months that are going to affect things like pool pumps, battery chargers, ceiling fans again, dehumidifiers for your kids' bedrooms, all of it. They are so in your space right now. And every bit of it is not going to save you money. They like to say, we will save the consumers money. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because the cost of getting all this stuff to be compliant with your new regulations is going to drive the cost of production up. Where do you think that goes? It goes to the consumer's pocket. That's where it goes. Talk about the Green New Steel, y'all. Listen, we come back, I got some text messages, and we'll see how that goes, because I may wind up getting some home fries, too. I don't know. It's going to be a tough call. Can I get home fries in, Butters? What do you think? You going to lay odds on it?
I think.
You think squeeze it in?
I think you might have a chance.
We'll see what happens. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Turn it up.
We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, I'm saying, we go like way down south with this show of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, way over to Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, and just talking Georgia, Mississippi, and Tennessee, too. It's crazy. We're all over the place. That's what I get for trying to read and speak at the same time. I was double tasking.
Well,
I'm still impressed the words came out.
we're covering some ground.
We are covering some ground.
We've been kind of all over the place today too. So
we have. Hey, I tell you what's who else is all over the place before I go to the phones is our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of our huge listening area. So listen, if you're in need of medical attention, and you don't have a primary care physician that you tend to go to, Southern Immediate Care. Check them out. They're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. They're all over the place. And they see all ages. I always say it's from geriatric down to pediatric. They'll cover all of them. And they also are open 7 days a week, which is huge. Because you know the deal. You wake up on a Saturday morning. The kids have got a fever. What do you do? Do you wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care. You find a location nearest to you online and just head on over. And I'm going to tell you, by the way, this is who I use personally. And I always say it to make sure y'all are clear. I didn't start using them because they advertise. I was using them, was so pleased that I asked them, would they advertise? Well, the owner of the chain is a Right Side Ruffian, so there's that. And here they are. They're one of our daily sponsors. So, yeah, Southern Immediate Care. Great chain of clinics. Every time I've walked in the front door, it's been, like, clean, professional, friendly. You'll find the same thing. I just encourage you, check it out. Find them online, Southern Immediate Care. And head down there. And by the way, when you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard it on Right Side Radio. Line one, he held on during the break, so let me grab it real quick. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, gentlemen. I hope y'all are also.
We is indeed, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, speaking of all over the place, that's where I've been, so y'all have been cutting in and out. And as far as the Green New Steel, I assume you're spelling it S-T-E-E-L, not S-T-E-A-L, because Al Gore's been doing the latter for years now.
he has. How many millions of dollars has he made selling carbon offsets?
I don't know, but I was doing some research the other day, and I found out the average passenger tire in the USA, whether it's a Tesla or a gas-powered vehicle, uses about 5 gallons of petroleum.
Really?
In its creation.
Per tire?
So... per tire.
Wow.
So at that point and everything, if they want green new steel, we're going to be using a lot of it because we're not going to have tires. We're going to be running on rims.
So the 33s on my Jeep, they're probably a little more than that, maybe 6 or 7 gallons.
Very possibly. I just several sources went to, and it was the average passenger tire on a car was 5 gallons of petroleum per tire.
People don't think about this. In fact, I didn't pull the story for today's episode. I probably could have, but there was a congressional hearing the other day, and what's the guy's name? Mark Wayne Mullen, who's from Oklahoma, I believe, just ripped into this climate activist who was testifying before Congress and said, that water bottle you're drinking of, did you see it?
Yes, I heard the whole thing.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
That was hilarious.
Everything she had on, what she was drinking from, you know, how she even got there, every bit of it was petroleum-based, and she was clueless. Clueless.
That was awesome.
All right,
Brian.
I'll
put y'all back to things.
Appreciate you, man.
Bye.
See you. Oh, my gosh. Okay. We're busy signal. You don't hear those very often these days. What do we got here? Let's see. Myron from Winfield. He likes LED lights. LED is much better. Idiot. Try one, he says. Myron, lighten up, dude. Go get your own light bulb. Anyway, what are you about to say?
I was just going to say I did a quick little fact check on Brian. 15 to 38 liters was what popped up, which is basically 4 to 10 gallons of petroleum. 4 to 10 gallons. So you're probably closer to that 10-gallon on your big old knobby
depending
tires.
Depending on what he's driving, he may be in the 6-gallon range he was talking about. I think I'm closer to the 10.
Yeah, that's
right.
Crazy.
And proud of it, by the way. They look good on my Jeep. Good. They look fine. Fine. White letter, BF Goodrich. Loving it.
And if you want to buy LED lights, then buy LED lights. That's kind of the point we're making. It's not one's better than the other.
By the way, I don't.
If there's a market for it, then
I don't mind an LED light in the studio. I mind an LED light when I'm trying to read at night as I go to sleep. That's a little different. Devin from Brownsboro, are you guys trying to be broadcasting during the holidays? What's your schedule look like? We intend to be broadcasting, bro. I suspect that we will be here for much of the times that you want to listen. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, I had the great privilege and honor this past weekend. I met Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, volunteered to sing the national anthem after the person who was scheduled backed out. It was nationally televised, and I sang it with pride. Man, that's awesome. Well, Steve, congratulations on that. And if you've got video somewhere, send us a link. I'd love to see it. Glenn from Bluntsville says, what war are we in that would allow Biden to invoke War Powers Act? And then he says, go old school, wood stove. That is old school. That's more old school than old school. That's before school. That's preschool. But yeah, the war is the war on climate change. It's the existential threat to our national security.
Yeah, I you know, we talked during the break. I just, how do you sit there with a straight face and try to compare this to, I mean, especially all the times that people have said, oh, two more years and the world's going to come. Like, yeah, that was supposedly, 2000, we were supposed to have the it was going to be so hot we couldn't live. And yeah. Here we are.
The polar ice caps will melt and the seas will rise and, you know, we'll be all underwater. It'll be like, you know, Aquaman every day. But there are some who I think are true believers, like Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm, who I just think is a nut job. But she was a climate activist before she ever got positioned as the Secretary of Energy. I would guarantee you she sought out the position because of her personal activism. Then there's folks in the Pentagon who probably sit there and roll their eyes because they're told they have to write a report saying that the existential threat is climate change and the U.S. military will meet the threat by doing these things. I think there's some preserving their jobs and there's some who are believers.
Yeah, and I think people just don't understand when you've got a commander-in-chief that says, like, words have meaning. If they say this is the number one threat,
oh, yeah,
you've now prioritized all of the resources to try and fight this threat. And I'm look, we got to do something to conserve the environment. I mean, let's be a good steward. Yeah, be a good steward, but words have meaning. Come on.
Yeah, they do. But I agree with you. I love the outdoors. I used to spend a lot of my time, backpacking in the mountains.
Kicking the can.
Kicking the can. But all of it. And I'm for being a good steward. I've never appreciated seeing someone litter unnecessarily. I've never appreciated things you find like someone is trying to bury their trash or, you find tire dumps in community. All that, wrong. I agree with dealing with it. But the agenda we're seeing right now is not rational. It's not. And in fact, if anything, what we ought to be pursuing is an all-of-the-above strategy. We know that oil and gas and coal works, and it works well, and it's what built this nation. And if you believe that wind and solar should be added, I get that. Start building out your portfolio, but you cannot mandate a complete shift away from what is currently working and maintaining the grid because oil and gas is not, wind and solar is not yet prepared to take up the load. And then on top of that, nuclear. And I get it. Nuclear is scary. I mean, Three Mile Island, those of y'all don't remember, those kind of things that have happened. I totally get it. At the same time, nuclear is considered very clean and the idea that you're going to have an accident is rare. You were on a nuclear carrier. I mean, nuclear works. You guys could pull up at a dock and power a whole city if you had to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's if you're underway, like on a submarine, those guys get exposed to less radiation than we do going down to, Destin and hanging out at the beach.
That's amazing. Well, so, yeah, all said and done, nuclear proves itself every day that we have ships at sea. So why would we not take the opportunity to add that to the portfolio instead of consistently tearing it down and removing it from the portfolio? All said and done, all of the above makes a whole lot more sense than none of the above.
Yeah. Apply what makes sense to the market that it's in, the location,
yep.
Areas that have – what Texas has done when I lived down there, for one thing, you could actually – sell your power back so it makes more sense. You got a lot more sun. And it was
if you put up a windmill or solar cells on your house in Alabama and you generate enough for your house, then you can technically sell back the extra and even get a refund from Alabama Power or TVA. You can do that here.
Well,
I know somebody that did it.
We did get a bit more sun and a bit more wind in South Texas than we do around here.
That is true. David from Huntsville says, don't promote Jennifer Granholm up to nut job status. So he's saying that I gave her a compliment. What else here? Anita from South Huntsville says, California won't stop until they have four regulators for every one private citizen. Then they'll find a way to put that one guy in jail. Wow. Anita, yeah. Missy from Falkville, Butters just said, if there's a market for it, yes, that's why this country has been so successful. The goal is to kill capitalism. Point taken. Scrolling down, did I miss some? Yes, I did. Thomas from Athens. Green New Steel, I cannot wait until they decide that fumes from a fired round and a weapon does terrible damage to air quality. Therefore, they can direct that all calibers of bullets and shotgun shells cannot be manufactured in the U.S.
Don't give them any ideas.
No, I probably shouldn't have read that out loud. Man, well, there you, okay. Where are we at here? John from Huntsville. Phil, your handling of Right Side Radio light bulbs as Christmas gifts, I'll gladly take one. Oh, there you have it. See, bro, your mom's secret stash of good light bulbs is out there for all the world to know about now. I'm sorry. Jenny from Decatur, how is that for dictatorship? Oh, I guess she was talking about the War Powers Act. I'm saying, man, that's a dictatorship. Biden is the only threat, Mark from Laredo, Tennessee. Biden is the only threat to national security. Whatever they mandate to buy, electric heaters, et cetera, just boycott it. It'll eventually go away. Lewis from Birmingham. So are we at war with the climate or with the companies that are manufacturing the products that change it or the people using the devices that destroy the climate? So he literally declared war on either the planet or our people. Yes, either that or he's just trying to save us from ourselves. Lewis, just save us from ourselves.
Or the people that fund all of their campaigns are bought in and believers and want to save the environment in their mind and are telling them do these things.
And they also enjoy the subsidies that he's willing to dole out so they can have free money to go do says stuff with.
Not to be a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, never mind. Jay from Hartsell says, great, more rolling blackouts. There you have it. Jeremy from Huntsville says, Biden is so dumb, he thought the Cold War was an attack on low temperatures. Ah, ha, ha, ha. JT Lacey Springs says, this section sounds like Brewster's Millions. Just spend, spend, spend. Don't ask what or why. Just spend. It's every day. It's every day, y'all. Every single day. A couple more on here. Steve from Huntsville chimed in again. He says the YouTube you can find him singing at the Redneck Brawl 2023. Fast forward to the 27-minute mark in the video. It was a pay-per-view event with folks all around tuning in. All right, Steve. I'm gonna try and find that, brother. But I am proud of you and appreciate you letting us know. Kenny from Huntsville, real quick, he says, we have nuclear power, wind, solar, petroleum, coal, all come from a giant nuclear furnace in the sky called the sun. Okay. So I guess he's saying he's for solar energy? Is that what he's saying? I don't know. Tim from Gurley, man cannot destroy what God created. End of text. Brian from Huntsville, nuclear reactors, nuclear families, the woke world hates them both. Mm. Wow. And on that note, take me to a break, Butters. My goodness. What a show. You know what? It was a two-dipper day, but I did have a mini rant earlier in the show, and it was good. I'm just saying.
A little dipper?
We'll see where the grades come out. A little dipper or a mini rant, I'm not sure how we call it. You may have points taken off for calling it a mini dipper, because remember, it's supposed to be a mini dipper, he says. Because John does drive our programming.
That is true. Love you, John.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower, I like to say. Hey, I'll tell you who else has a lot of common sense is our friends at ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions, y'all, they are doing all kinds of stuff to help businesses find, you know, more efficient and streamlined and cost-effective ways to run their businesses. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we make it better. They come in and assist you with that kind of thing. They can help you with logistics and warehousing and quality control and all kinds of stuff. But they're also, their bread and butter remains staffing. They can find you the people you need. So at ZLA Solutions, they will literally find you the onesies and twosies with special hard-to-find niche skills, or they can find you an entire shift of people. It doesn't matter. They can do it. And they're doing it for all kinds of industries all over our listening area and beyond, really. So, yeah, they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. And I like to say it can be blue collar, white collar, or no collar. Big companies, small companies, they just do it. So, yeah, you need help? They're there for you. ZLA Solutions. And you can find them, by the way, at ZLAUSA.com. That's their website. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And do me the favor of telling them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Grades are in, bro. What do we got? John from Huntsville says, Butters, you get an A double plus today for awesome sound effects and awesome commentary, and there's no point deduction for you calling it a little dipper this time, but maybe next time. Phil, you also get an A double plus today because I'm not going to deduct any points for not making it to Home Fries because I feel like it might be my fault for getting the show off track by bringing up that Kick Can Twilight Zone episode.
You know, John, I appreciate somebody that takes accountability. That's that I appreciate that.
And I just appreciate the fact that John's in the audience, so we're glad of it either way around. Anyway, all right, that's good enough for me, man. I can live with it. I got to clarify something else, too. Charlene just texted me. She said, you just said that you always go to Southern Immediate Care, which is like that's where I do my primary care. But she said, but then you said you went to a doctor recently and had to fill out forms that asked you your gender. You better clarify that. Yes, that was not Southern Immediate Care. That was a specialist that I had to go to for tests. No big deal, except that it was not at all my usual doctor, and I was shocked. That was not Southern Immediate Care, just so you know. Thank you, my sweet love, for clarifying that and rescuing me from the embarrassment of having to answer to it later. Yeah, nothing like having a wife who squares you away. You know what I'm saying? Just squares you away. I live to be squared away by the lovely Charlene.
It's got to be helpful.
37 years of being squared away.
Nice.
Can't argue.
Nicely done.
Tomorrow, by the way, we got good doings. We should be having the usual Wednesday. We'll play the Camel, and we'll also, oh, by the way, have the Grand Council. I'm also planning to bring the Home Fries back, and I'm pretty sure, based upon what I've seen on the news headlines up on the screens here today, that we'll probably be talking about what's going on in the Middle East because, y'all, it's getting pretty epic level scary. So, and I don't want to say that like I'm being sensational. I'm saying, you know how I always say it, keep your head on a swivel. The Middle East is a keep your head on the swivel thing right now. With Iran threatening, with the Houthis firing today on another merchant ship, with the U.S. Navy having to implement a plan to escort, carrier ships, not carriers, but transport ships. It's not good, and it's all the same. At the same time, we got Israel doing what it has to do as to Hamas. So, yeah, keep your head on a swivel, Middle East.
Should be an interesting conversation. So, lots going on.
It absolutely will. All right, we love you though. Great show, great audience. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll see you tomorrow too.